wounds. When the Inquisition buried his father, it was as if he simply died in his sleep, his body intact and seemingly untouched. Now, Terran positions the needle-like knife over the inside corner of the king's right eye. He hoists the wooden mallet over the end of the knife, then pulls the mallet back. Giulietta watches him in silence. Giulietta is the rightful ruler of Kenetra. The gods ordained it by marking Prince Enzo, cursing him as a malfetto. The gods gave Kenetra this weak king, the Duke of Ostendia, a nobleman not even of the royal bloodline. But Giulietta is pure. She should rule Kenetra. With Adelina's help, Terran will destroy the young elites. And with Giulietta's support, they will rid the entire country of malfettos. Terran smiles at the thought. Tonight, Giulietta will cry out for her guards and tell them the king has stopped breathing beside her. They will pronounce the king dead of natural causes, of excessive wine or of heart attack. And tonight, Terran will begin a true purge of the city's malfettos. He gathers his strength. Then he slams the mallet down on the knife's handle. The knife strikes true. The body goes rigid, twitching. Then, gradually, the movements fade. The king is dead. Long live the queen.
To love is to be afraid. You are frightened, deathly terrified that something will happen to those you love. Think of the possibilities. Does your heart clench with each thought? That, my friend, is love. And love enslaves us all, for you cannot have love without fear. A Private Thesis on the Romancing of Three Kings by Baroness San Marco. Adelina Amuteru. I haven't been out in Ostendia often enough to know, but I would have guessed that at such a late hour, the city would be quieter. No such luck tonight. The streets are teeming with Inquisition guards. In fact, I can't turn a single corner without seeing a patrol making its way down the street. Their presence forces me to slow down. Something has happened. What is going on? I pass through the shadows, my silver mask tucked neatly under my arm. I cloak myself in an illusion of invisibility, but the act exhausts me quickly, allowing me to do it only for a few moments at a time. I pause frequently in dark alleys to gather my strength. Invisibility is hard as disguising myself as another person. With each step, my surroundings change, and I have to shift my illusion to change with it. If I don't shift quickly or accurately enough, I look like a ripple moving through air. The consequence of invisibility, therefore, is constant concentration, to the point where I can barely remember what my real self looks like. At least it's nighttime, a more forgiving hour. I hide again as more Inquisition patrols hurry past. Somewhere distant in the night, a few shouts go up. I listen intently. At first, I can't make out what they're saying. Then, moments later, the words become clear. The king is dead! The distant cry freezes me in place. The king is dead? A moment later, another voice joins in, repeating the phrase. Then another. Among them, I hear another phrase. Long live the queen! The king is dead. Long live the queen. I steady myself against the wall. Did the daggers make their move tonight? No, they wouldn't have. They didn't plan for it. The king had died before they could get to him. What happened? Terran, a whisper in my head suggests. But that doesn't seem right. Why would he want the king dead? Without risking a gondola ride, it takes me a full hour before I can even sight the Inquisition Axis's tower looming in the distance. Beyond it lies the palace, and if I'm not mistaken, the clusters of Inquisitors seem to be heading in that general direction. By the time I'm in the same square as the tower, a cold sheen of sweat has broken out on my brow. I stop in the shadows of a nearby shop, then let down my invisibility illusion, removing my mask for a moment, and take a deep breath. This is easily the longest I've ever held an illusion in place, and the result is a wave of dizziness that leaves me swaying in place. When I was 9, I went into my father's study and ripped apart a letter he had been writing to a local doctor, asking advice on medicines to subdue my temper. My father found out what I'd done, of course. He told Violeta to lock me in my bedchamber for 3 days without food or water. When Violeta found me nearly unconscious at the end of the second day, she begged him to release me. He did. Then he smiled and asked me if I'd enjoyed the rush of thirst and hunger, if it had woken anything in me. The dizziness I felt back then, leaning against my locked door, and shouting myself hoarse for my sister to release me, is not unlike how I feel now. The memory gives me some strength, though. After a few minutes, I swallow and straighten myself. My gaze focuses on the tower. A short walkway leads from the main square up to the tower's looming doors, and inquisitors line this path. A large, round lantern hangs at the tower's entrance, illuminating the door's dark wood. I start to cover myself up again, then stop. Why should I drain my energy now? If I get to the door successfully, with an invisibility illusion, I will still need to pull it open in order to enter. No way for me to disguise that. So, instead, I walk up to the guards. The memory of the last time I did this, in a city gone wild with the qualifying races, comes back to me. Two of them immediately draw their swords. I force myself to stare straight back at them. "I'm here to see Master Santoro," I reply. "He asked for me personally." A flicker of doubt appears on one of the men's faces at the mention of Terran's name. My energy stirs at the emotion, strengthening. I frown at them. This time, I take advantage of their obvious unease. From my cloak, I produce the silver mask. "I have information for him on the young elites." My voice is surprisingly smooth. "Do you really want to risk turning me away?" The guard's eyes widen in recognition at the sight of the mask, and my energy strengthens again as I feel myself winning control over this soldier, forcing him to do something against his will. Finally, the first inquisitor gestures for two of the others to seize me. "Let her in!" Then he growls at me. "You'll wait until he returns." Terran's not in the tower tonight. Their hands on my arms remind me of my execution day in Dahlia. As they lead me away, I look over my shoulder as more inquisitors run by on the streets. The energy of fear seems high tonight. It pulses through me, stimulating my senses. We step inside the tower. They usher me into a small chamber branching off from the main hall, and here they seat me on the floor. Then they surround me in a circle, each of their spears pointed straight at me. Outside the door, more wait. I stare back at them, determined not to show them any hint of emotion. The dungeons should be somewhere below us, if this tower is anything like the one I was once kept in. Where is Terran keeping Violeta, if he has her at all? I don't know how long I'm in here, counting the minutes away. The inquisitors stay unmoving. Is this what they go through in training, standing motionless for hours at a time? I can sense their unease around me, a persistent underlying emotion that peeks through from the stern, unfeeling shell they try to pull over it. I smile at them. Their fear grows. My excitement grows with it. Suddenly, from outside the windows comes the sound of shattering glass, then screams. I turn in the direction of the sound. The guards all hoist their swords at my movement, but I continue to look toward the windows. The sound of running feet, hundreds of them, then more voices, then chaos. A faint glow of yellow and orange flickers against the window's dark glass. The king's death. Is this related? Do the daggers know what happened? Does Enzo know I've run away yet? The door bursts open. A new inquisitor comes hurrying in, then whispers something in the ear of the closest guard. I try in vain to catch what he's saying. Outside, more shouts and shrieks ring out in the night. And then I hear it, a familiar voice from down the hall. My head jerks in its direction. Terran has returned. He strides into my room, a swagger in his step, his head held high and a cold smile on his lips. He pauses at the sight of me. I suck my breath in sharply. Suddenly, my entire mission, all my powers, seem to pale in his presence. "You came," he finally says, stopping before me. "It's about time. I was sure I'd have to kill you tonight." He crosses his arms over his chest. "You saved me the trouble." "I hear the king has died," I whisper. Terran bows his head once, but his words are stripped of empathy. "A sudden illness. We are all in mourning." I shiver. "Are you, Terran?" His matter-of-fact answer is confirmation enough that the daggers weren't the ones responsible. But just because the daggers didn't assassinate the king doesn't mean he wasn't assassinated. A sudden illness sounds suspicious. "You promised me my sister," I say, my eye focused on his bloody cloak, "and her safety." For a moment, I consider using my powers on him. But then what? All I can create are illusions. I can't hurt him. Not even Enzo can hurt him. "My word is as good as yours," he replies, eyeing me pointedly. "But it may not be for long." Whatever it is that Terran has ordered done to the city tonight, it has brought with it a cloud of terror. I study him, sensing the swirling darkness in his heart, the madness glinting in his eyes. "Collect yourself. Concentrate." I steel my heart, sharpening my fear into a razor-sharp blade. "Take me to my sister, or I'll tell you nothing." Terran tilts his head. "Demanding, aren't we?" His eyes narrow. "Something has happened to you since the last time we crossed paths." In my chest, my alignment with ambition surges. "Are you interested in capturing the elites or not?" My answer coaxes a single laugh out of him. His smile wavers for a moment, diminishing his madness, and he gives me a more serious look. "What made you turn your back on them?" I withdraw. I don't want to revisit what I heard. "Isn't it enough that you threatened my sister's life? That you threw me against a wall?" His eyes pulse with curiosity. "There's more." The heat of Enzo's kiss springs unbidden to my mind. The way his eyes had softened at the sight of me, the way he'd pushed me against the wall, the conversation between him and Dante. I push the emotion away and shake my head at Terran. "Let me see my sister first," I repeat. "What if I tell my men to kill her now, unless you give me what I want?" My jaw tightens. "Stay brave." "Then I'll never talk." I meet his stare with my own, refusing to back down. The last time we met, he had taken me by surprise and I cowered before him. This time I cannot afford to do the same thing. Finally, Terran nods at me to follow him. "Come then," he says, gesturing to the Inquisitors. "Let's play your game." "Success." The Inquisitors lower their swords and drag me to my feet. Gradually, I start to gather energy in my chest. I'm going to need everything I have, or there is no hope of escaping this place with Violetta. He leads us further down into the dungeons. Down, down, until I stop counting the number of stony steps we've covered. How far does this go? As we continue, I hear the cries of prisoners ringing from other floors. A chorus of haunted wails. I have to hold my breath down here. Never in my life have I felt so much fear and anger concentrated in a single place. The emotions swim around me, hungering for me to do something with them. My own anger and fear threaten to overwhelm my senses. I grit my teeth, hanging on to my powers. I could do so much down here. I could conjure an illusion like none of them have ever seen. But I continue to hold back. Not until I see Violetta myself. Finally, Terran guides us down to a floor quieter than the rest. Small wooden doors covered with iron bars line the walls. We walk through a narrowly lit corridor until we stand before a lone door at the very end. I nearly stagger. So powerful is my darkness here. I was in a place like this once. Your sister, he says to me, giving me a mock bow. One of the other inquisitors unlocks the door, and it groans open. I blink. Behind the heavy door is a tiny, cramped cell. Candles burn along small ledges on the wall. A bed of hay is piled in one corner, and on it sits a girl with a sweet, fragile face and a head of dark locks that now look tangled and dull. She's thin and frail, shaking from the cold. Her wide eyes find me. I'm ashamed by my rush of mixed emotions at the sight of her. Joy, love, hate, envy. Adelina? My sister says. And suddenly I remember the night I ran away from home, when she stood in my bedchamber's doorway and rubbed sleep from her eyes. Inquisitors immediately file in and surround her. She shrinks away from them on the bed, tucking her knees up to her chin. As she does, I notice the heavy shackles on her wrists and ankles that keep her chained to the bed. Darkness roars inside me. What illusion can I perform that could get us out before they can hurt her? I gauge the distance between us, the number of steps that separate the Inquisitors and me and Taryn. All of Raffaele's and Enzo's lessons run through my mind. Taryn waits for me to step inside the room and then closes the door behind him. He strolls closer to Violetta. As he does, I feel her fear spike. And with that, mine does too. Taryn looks her over with a critical gaze, then turns back to me with a sweep of his cloak. He studies me. Tell me, Adelina, what are their names? I open my mouth. Tell him about the horrible spider. The little whispers say gleefully in my head. Go on, he deserves it. Give him Enzo and Mikkel and Lucent. Give him Gemma. You're doing so well. In my head, I imagine confessing everything I know to Taryn. Where are the young elites? He'll say. The Fortunata Court, I'll reply. Where? It has many secret passages. They use the catacombs underneath the court. You can find the entrance in the smallest garden. Tell me their names. I do. The vision in my head vanishes, and I once again see Taryn standing before me. Somehow, the confessions don't come out. Despite my silence, Taryn seems calm. Adelina, I'm impressed. Something did happen to you. A faint warning buzzes in my head. You want their names, I say, prolonging the game. Taryn observes me with an interested stare. His lips twitch. Still hesitant, aren't you? He walks in a slow circle around me, close enough that I can feel the brush of his cloak against my skin. With a chill, I realize that it reminds me of when Raffaele circled me during my test with the gemstones, sizing me up, studying my potential. Finally, Taryn stops before me. He draws his sword and points it at Violetta. My heart twists. Why do you protect them so loyally, Adelina? When did they promise you once you were part of their circle? Did they make you believe that they're a band of noble heroes? That they recruited you for some honorable cause instead of the murder they actually commit? Do you think their spring moon's stunt didn't claim any innocent lives? He fixes his pale, pulsing eyes on me. I've seen what you can do. I know of the darkness in your soul. You were willing to run from them. I'd wager that you don't trust them. There's something different about you. They don't like you, do they? How could he possibly know that? What are you trying to say? I ask through clenched teeth. You're here because you know you don't belong, he replies coolly. Let me tell you something, Adelina. There's no shame in turning your back on a group of criminals who want nothing more than to burn the entire nation to the ground. Do you think they'd protect you if you were in danger? He turns his gaze sidelong. I think back to how Malfettos have burned at the stake, and how the daggers chose not to save them because they weren't elites. They came for you that day because you had something they wanted, Terran says, as if he knows what I'm thinking. No one throws away something useful to them, that is, until it's no longer useful. He's right. I've grown fond of you in the time we've spent together, he continues. Do you ever think on the myth of the Angel of Joy and his brother the Angel of Greed? Do you remember the story of Denarius casting Laetus from the heavens, condemning him to walk the world as a man until his death sent him back among the gods? Curing the Angel of Joy of his arrogance and thinking that he was the god's most beloved child? He leans closer. There's an imbalance in the world, just as there was when Joy left the heavens. Warning signs of demons walking with us, defying the natural order. Sometimes, the only way to set things right is to do what is difficult. It is the only way to love them back. All pretense of amusement is now gone from his face. That's why I was sent by the gods. And I feel, too, that perhaps you were sent for the same reason. There is a yearning in you to set things right, little Malfetto. You are smarter than the others because you know there is something wrong with you. It tears at your conscience, doesn't it? You have hatred for yourself, and I admire that. It's why you keep coming back to me. The only way to cure yourself of this guilt is to atone for it by saving your fellow abominations. Help them return to the underworld where they belong. Do this with me. You and I can set the world right again, and when we do, the gods will deem us forgiven. His voice has taken on a strange, gentle tone. It doesn't seem right or kind, I know. It seems cruel, but it must be done. Do you understand? Something about his words makes sense. They twist around my head and my heart until they seem logical. I am an abomination, even to the other daggers. Perhaps it really is my duty to set the world right again. I do this because I love you, my father's ghost whispers. You may not understand it right now, but it is for your own good. You are a monster. I still love you. I will set you right. Terran's serious look shifts to a sympathetic one, an expression I recognize from my execution day. If you pledge yourself to the Inquisition, to me, and swear to use your powers and your knowledge to send Malfettos back to the underworld, I will give you everything you've ever wanted. I can grant your every desire. Money, power, respect, done. He smiles. You can redeem yourself, chained from an abomination in the god's eyes to a savior. You can help me fix this world. Wouldn't it be nice not having to run anymore? He pauses, and for a moment, a note of real, painful tragedy enters his voice. We are not supposed to exist, Adelina. We were never meant to be. We are mistakes. Now, Adelina, he says soft and coaxing, tell me. I want to. Oh, how I want to in this moment. Terran can offer Violetta and me such an easy life if I only give him what he wants. The dagger's plans are ruined anyway, aren't they? The king has died of his own accord. I have no reason to stay loyal to them anymore. I open my mouth. Dante's words are fresh in my mind, and a surge of bitterness rises in me, eager for release. I could destroy them all right now, with just a few choice words. But the words still don't come. I'm thinking instead of Enzo's gentle expression, of Gemma's quick smile, Lucent's casual friendship, Mikkel's art lessons. I am thinking of Raffaele most of all, with all his patience and grace, his kind, calm faithfulness that has earned my trust. If he had been at the court tonight, I might have confided in him. He would have helped me. Things could have gone differently if he were there. I have something when I'm with the daggers, something beyond an unwritten business contract to do what they tell me. Some spark of clarity emerges through the net Terran's words have cast over me, a trickle of logic that brings me out of the fog. He says the daggers are using me, but he's using me too. This is the real reason why I cannot seem to give him what he wants. It is not so much that I'm protecting the daggers. It is that I am tired of being used. Terran sighs, then shakes his head. He nods at one of his men. The Inquisitor draws his sword and moves toward Violetta. I glance at my sister. She realizes I'm about to make a move. I gather my strength, then I reach out and pull. A sheet of invisibility shoots up around me, mimicking the wall behind me and the floor beneath my feet. I weave the same around my sister. To the naked eye, it seems as if my sister had suddenly been replaced by empty space. For the first time, Terran looks surprised. "You've improved," he snaps. He draws his sword, then shouts at the other Inquisitors. "Enough of this! Find her!" They start in my general direction, but I'm already on the move. I pull again, wrapping each one of them in a vision of nightmares, shrieking demons, their piercing wails, the sound of metal ripping against metal, their mouths pulled all the way back. Several Inquisitors fall to their knees, their hands pressed over their faces and ears. Their terror makes me gasp. It feels so good. Terran and I reach my sister at the same time. He gropes blindly, grabbing at her arm. He yanks her to him and presses his sword against her throat. "Don't!" he shouts to the air. Even through his anger, he seems to see something in me that fascinates him. I turn my concentration onto him, then seek out his senses, aiming to drown him in illusions with his men. I hit a wall. I've never felt this in anyone else before. Like a block of ice. Something hard and impenetrable that shields his energy from my own. I grit my teeth and push harder. But his own energy pushes back. A smile spreads across his face as he senses me struggling. I'd witnessed how Enzo's fire barely affected him. And heard Enzo talk about how Terran cannot be injured like a normal person. Now, for the first time, I'm feeling it for myself. "Try that again and I'll cut her," he says. Violetta squeezes her eyes shut. She takes a deep breath. And the strangest thing happens. Terran stops cold in the middle of his attack. He shudders. I feel the wall of ice shielding his energy from me crack, then shatter. He lets out a terrible gasp, releases Violetta, and falls to his knees. Suddenly, just like that, I see his energy threads, his fear, and his darkness, the threads that tie to his senses that I can now seek out and twist like I did to the others. What happened? Someone tampered with his abilities. I glance at Violetta, stunned. She returns my stricken look. That's when I know. I know it immediately. My sister is an elite, and she just took away Terran's powers. While my illusion holds, I hurry over to him and yank the key from around his neck. Then I rush over to my sister and remove her invisibility for a moment. She's shaking all over, a sheen of sweat on her delicate brow, and her eyes stay fixed on Terran as he crouches on the ground. My trembling fingers attempt to position the key at her iron cuffs. I wince as I force my one crooked finger to work with the others. Gods help me, but I'm so exhausted. I hadn't even realized how much of my energy I'd used, but now I feel it weighing me down. My fear is the only thing that keeps me going. Finally, Violetta's chains fall away and she springs to her feet. She swings one of my arms over her shoulder, steadying me, and together we make for the door. I strengthen our invisibility. I pause right before the door, then glance at Taryn over my shoulder. He grins. The wall of ice around him is gradually piecing itself back together. Adelina, he exclaims. You constantly surprise me. He laughs again, the sound of a madman. We stagger out the corridor as Taryn shouts for more guards. We climb the steps in silence, our breaths turning into hoarse gasps. My energy weakens. Even my own fear isn't enough to keep the illusion going. Our invisibility flickers in and out. Inquisitors dash past us. I try to save my strength for when they are near us, but by the time we've reached the main level of the tower, we appear as ripples moving against the walls. Hang on, Adelina, my sister coaxes. We hurry onto the street and into chaos. Shattered glass everywhere, screams in the night. More inquisitors than I've ever seen in my entire life, swarming the streets and dragging malfectos out of their homes, still in their nightgowns, and into the square, beating them senseless, clamping chains on them. I stumble to a halt in a nearby alley. There I finally release the last of my energy and slide down the wall into a fetal position. Violeta collapses beside me. Together we look on in horror at the scene unfolding before us. One inquisitor runs a sword straight through the body of a young malfetto woman with a streak of gold in her black hair. She lets out a broken shriek. Her blood spills onto the cobblestones. Cries ring out across the square. The king is dead! The king is dead! This is all wrong. I watch as the inquisitors kill other malfettos. I am numb. Something has gone terribly wrong. I pull Violeta close. Think of something else, I whisper into her ear, feeling her trembling uncontrollably against me. I force myself to take in the terror and evil that swirls around us, letting it strengthen the darkness in me so that I can weave an illusion of calm around my sister. I block out the screams for her. I weave a blanket of darkness around her, shielding her from the sight of the crying malfettos gathering in the square. This must be happening all across Estensia. Across Kenetra, even. As Violeta weeps against my shoulder, I stare at the horrific scene in her stead. How ironic that I should embrace such evil in order to protect my sister from evil. Through my fog of terror, I remember the catacombs under the city. I touch my sister's face. We have to go, I say firmly. Then I take her hand and begin to lead us away, until we turn the other corner and run straight into Dante. He stares down at me, his face swathed in shadows. Well, he growls. I knew I'd find you out here. He could feel the storm's energy in the breeze, as if it were some sort of living creature breathing life and fear into his body. Tales of Lord Dunray by Affair. Adelina Amuteru. My first feverish thought. Dante followed me. He'd somehow seen me leave the Fortunata Court. He'd tracked me to the Inquisition Tower, and now he knows I must have visited the Inquisition. A flurry of thoughts flashed through my mind in the span of a second. If he goes back to the other daggers, he will tell them about everything. No, they cannot find out this way. I open my mouth trying to think of something to say. He doesn't give me a chance. Instead, he lunges at me with an outstretched hand, trying to grab my arm. Violeta cries out, my energy roars in my ears. I fling an illusion of invisibility desperately over us and throw myself to the ground. My powers are fading fast, and we blink in and out of sight. I scramble to my feet right as Dante lunges for me again. This time, he attacks with a dagger. My illusion manages to throw off his aim, but the blade still catches the edge of my thigh, slicing through my clothes. I wince at the bite against my skin. Darkness roars inside me, feeding on Dante's own fury, my strength grows again. You traitor. He points the dagger at me. Enzo should have done away with you the instant you came to us. How dare you? I protected you all. I didn't do anything! I shout back. I told them nothing. You expect me to believe you? Dante twirls his blade. Let me explain, I say, holding my hands out. I didn't give anything to them. What you saw happen at the Spring Moons? Dante's lips curl into a snarl. I know what I saw. How long have you been working with Terran? I wasn't working with him. He found me months ago at the court. I don't know how to tell Dante this without making it sound like everything is my fault. It is my fault. And yet you told none of us this? Why keep it a secret? I didn't mean to. I was afraid of getting hurt, my sister. Dante sneers. I knew you were no good. I should carve your mouth right off your face because it spits out nothing but lies. I'm starting to have trouble breathing. My words come in gasps. You have to believe me. I didn't tell him anything. Did you tell him about the Tournament of Storms? I hesitate. Dante catches my paws. He narrows his eyes. And you betrayed Raffaele to the palace, didn't you? I blink. What? Raffaele? Raffaele hasn't returned? Dante doesn't need to speak for me to know the answer. Raffaele was absent at the last meeting. He never returned from his client visit. No, not him. The thought of Raffaele being the first to suffer, Dante lashes out again. He knocks me to the ground and holds me down. I can't find my energy to pull on. Violetta lets out a choked scream. I'm taking you back to Enzo, he growls, narrowing his eyes at me. His hand presses down on my neck, choking me. No, you can't. I should be the one telling him, not you. You'll answer to him, you pathetic little coward. I'll kill you before you can ruin this deal. My father's words from that fateful night suddenly echo all around me, filling my ears and taking me back to the rain-soaked marketplace where he'd died. Dante's words to Enzo run through my mind. The darkness that has risen in me ever since I left the daggers now claws eagerly for freedom. It builds and builds, feeding off the fears and hatred of Dante, the Inquisitors, the terror of the people in the streets, the darkness all around us. Above me, I no longer see Dante. Instead, I see my father, his lips twisted in a dark smile. Enough. I twine the glittering threads of energy around myself. There is suddenly so much of it that I feel lightheaded from the power, as if I'd left my body. Raffaele once showed me how to create illusions of touch. Can I do that? I bare my teeth, and I unleash my anger. For a single terrible moment, I can see every single one of the energy threads connecting Dante to myself. From myself to his pain senses. On instinct, I reach out and pull hard. Dante suddenly scrambles away from me. His hand leaves my neck. I gasp desperately for air. His eyes bulge. Then he drops his weapons and lets out a blood-curdling scream. The sound sends a flood of excitement through me, so intense that I tremble from head to toe. The illusion of touch. The illusion of pain. Oh, I've wanted to do this for so long. I pull harder, twisting, increasing his belief that he's in agony, that his limbs are being ripped off one by one, that someone is peeling the skin off his back. He collapses to the ground and writhes, scream after scream. At first, all I feel from him is rage. He glares at me with murder in his eyes. I am going to kill you! He spits out amid his pain. You've attacked the wrong elite. I harden my expression. No, you have. His rage changes to fear. Terror pours from him. It only makes me stronger, and I throw all the extra power back into torturing him. A part of me is horrified at what I'm doing, but the other part of me, the part that is my father's daughter, delights in it. I'm heady with pleasure, It washes over me until I feel like I am a completely different person. I walk closer to where he writhes and look on patiently with a curious tilt of my head. I open my mouth to speak, and my father's words spill out of me. "Show me what you can do," I whisper in Dante's ear. Somewhere in the midst of swirling darkness, I catch sight of Violeta cowering in the corner, her terrified eyes fixed on me. She has the power to stop me, I realize through my haze of exhilaration. But she's not. Stop? Why should I stop? This is the boy who told Enzo to kill me. He has threatened my life from the moment I joined the Daggers. He tried to kill me right now. Just like everyone else. I have the right to torture him. He deserves to die at my hands, and I will make sure he feels every last moment of it. All the rage and bitterness I've held in my heart for everything now reaches a peak. My father's image replaces Dante again, his body bent backward in agony. My smile turns dark, and I twist harder, harder, harder. I will destroy you. Stop, please. At first I think it's Violeta screaming this at me, but then I realize that it's my father. He has resorted to begging. His heartbeat increases to a violent pace. Something inside me screams that this is going too far. I can feel the darkness taking over my senses. My father, Dante, gasps. His scream cuts off as his face freezes into a trembling picture of shock. Harder. I try in vain to shove it away, to regain control. I can't. A real trickle of blood runs from his lips. My heart trembles at the sight. That isn't supposed to happen. I'm a conjurer of illusions. Can even the illusion of pain eventually trigger something real? Again, I reach out to stop myself, but my father's ghost only laughs, mingling with the gleeful whispers in my head. Keep going, Adelina, and no one will ever command you again. I feel something snap in Dante's heart, a breaking of strings. He freezes. His mouth stays open in a silent scream. His lips are stained red. His fingers twitch, but his eyes are glazed. The darkness in me that took over my mind now vanishes in a rush. I collapse to my knees, suddenly unable to catch my breath, and lean against the wall in exhaustion. I feel like I've returned to my body. My energy shrinks away into nothingness just like that. My father's ghostly presence disappears, and his voice melts into the night. Violeta stays where she is, staring in stunned silence at Dante's body. I do the same. The chaos out in the streets rings in my ears like an underwater scream. I wanted to hurt him, to defend myself, to get revenge, to escape. But I didn't just hurt him. I made sure that he will never again lift a finger against me. In my fury, I killed him. Baliras are violent when provoked, but be silent and still, and you may see the frailness under their enormous size, the way they wrap their fins around their young. Creatures of the Underworld by Sir Alamor Kirana. Adelina Amuteru. I'm not sure how long we stay in the alley. Maybe a minute? Maybe hours? Time loses meaning for a while. I only remember leaving that narrow street in a stupor, my hand clenched tightly around Violeta's. There was a corpse lying on the ground behind us that I don't dare look at again. Somehow, we managed to stay hidden in the shadows, the chaos in the city working to our advantage. In the heart of Estensia, the steady presence of Inquisition patrols has quickly turned into teeming numbers. More white cloaks than I've ever seen in my life. Broken glass litters the streets. Shops owned by malfettos are smashed, burned, and destroyed. Their owners dragged from their beds, still in their shifts, and thrown into the street to be arrested. The palace is taking its revenge for what we did at the piers. I am taking my own revenge. We continue on. It seems like the night sky has started to lighten. Dawn already? We must have stayed in the alley for some time, I think as we go. Sheer exhaustion suddenly hits me, and I lean against a wall to steady myself against the wave of dizziness. Something happened in that alley. What was it? Why does everything feel so out of focus? A memory comes to me clouded and half-formed as if I had witnessed it through another's eyes. Someone had been there. A boy. He'd tried to hurt us. I can't remember beyond that. Something happened, but what? I look at Violetta, who returns my stare with wide, frightened eyes. It takes me a moment to realize that she's frightened of me. Perhaps I do remember. Perhaps I'm forgetting on purpose. Hurry, Adelina, she whispers as she hesitantly takes my hand. I follow numbly. Where should we go? Through the fog in my head, I murmur back, the Fortunata Court, this way. If I can just talk to Raffaele, I can explain everything. Enzo will listen to him. I shouldn't have left them behind. This has all been a terrible mistake. I lead us through the waning dark, past burning buildings and wailing people, the air filled with the smell of terror. I stop again when the darkness in my stomach becomes too much for me to handle. Wait! I gasp out to Violetta. Before she can reply, I lean forward and heave. What little is in my stomach comes spilling out. I cough and retch until I have nothing left. Still, the darkness churns in me, relentless, bringing with it tides of both nausea and comfort. I teeter between revulsion and joy. Through my dizziness, I feel Violetta wrapping her arm around my shoulder. She steadies me. When I look up, I meet her solemn eyes. Who was he? She whispers. Her question sounds like an accusation. It confuses me. Who? Violetta's eyes turn stricken. You mean you don't? This must be what it feels like to lose your mind. I shake off her arm and turn my attention back to the streets. I don't want to talk about it, I snap. I wait for Violetta to say something in return, but she stays quiet, and we don't exchange another word until we near the arches of the Fortunata Court. By the time we arrive, the city is full of the sound of screams, and the faint dawn is broken by bursts of orange. We pause in an alley to catch our breath. All of my strength has been sapped, and I don't even try to conjure an illusion to protect us. Violetta keeps her eyes turned away from me, her expression stricken. Get back, she suddenly whispers. We shrink into the shadows as inquisitors come running past the main street and into a nearby shop. Moments later, they drag a malfetto woman out, throwing her down with such force that she falls onto her hands and knees. She's sobbing. Behind her, white cloaks flutter inside her shop, and the first signs of fire flicker at the windows. We watch in silence, hearts in our throats, as the woman begs them for mercy. One of the inquisitors prepares to strike her. Up in the windows of nearby homes, neighbors look on. Their faces are pictures of horror, but they stay silent and do not help. Suddenly, the inquisitor who's about to strike the woman tilts backward, as if a curtain of wind swept him off his feet. Then he's yanked, shrieking, high in the air, past the roofline of the buildings. My eyes widen. Windwalker. The elites are here. The inquisitor hovers in the sky for a moment, and then plummets to the street with a sickening crunch. Violetta flinches and turns into my shoulder. At the same time, the flames in the shop vanish without a trace, leaving nothing but black smoke curling from the building. Other inquisitors shout out in alarm, but wherever the daggers were, they're already gone. I shrink farther into the shadows, suddenly terrified that they will find me. In the distance, we hear several malfettos in the street call out, "The young elites!" The woman on her knees screams, "They're here! Save us!" Others chant the same. The desperation in their voices raises the hairs on my neck, but nothing else happens. The Inquisitors sweep the streets looking for them, but they are nowhere to be found. "We have to get out of here," I whisper. "Follow me, we're going underground." And with that, Violeta and I backtrack out of our alley and flee down a quieter path away from the carnage. By the time the sun finally rises, we arrive in the streets in front of the Fortunata Court. I freeze, unwilling to believe what I see. The place, once a crown jewel, is now charred and destroyed, ransacked by inquisitors. Blood stains the street at its entrance. The daggers must be gone too. All their plans, their mission to assassinate the king, their safe house destroyed. In one night, there's nothing left. When the Aristans conquered the Salans, they took everything with them. Their jewels, their honor, and their children. Sometimes straight from the womb. Journal chronicling Amadera's first civil war, 758 to 762, by Mirena the Great. Adelina Amuteru. I didn't dare step back inside the Fortunata Court. I didn't know if there were still inquisitors combing through the rooms there, and I didn't know if I'd be ready to see whether or not the inquisitors found the dagger's secret chambers. Whether or not there are any bodies inside that I'd recognize. I didn't want to know. Instead, I took Violeta's hand and led us down to the only place where I thought we'd be safe. The catacombs. From deep within the tunnels underneath the city, the roar of people above ground sounds like a strange, muted echo. Whispers of the ghosts that must haunt these dark, narrow corridors. Faint shafts of light come from small gratings at the top of the corridor, and the dimness of a rainy morning paints everything in a haze. I don't know where else to go. We've been down here for a full day since we fled the Fortunata Court's ashes, hiding in the midst of death. From here, we heard Terran's voice ringing out across the palace square, saw inquisitors swarming through the city streets. The memory of last night leaves a nauseating, aching feeling in my stomach. I should have stopped and helped the people in the streets, but I had no strength. What has happened to Enzo now that the court is ruined and the king is dead? What will they do now? We can't stay here long. Maybe the Inquisition has discovered the Fortunata Court's secret passageways and uncovered the dagger's access to the catacombs. Maybe they are searching through the tunnels now, hunting for us. For now, though, we rest here, too exhausted to continue. "Are you all right?" I ask my sister as we both lean wearily against the wall. My throat's parched and my words come out weak and hoarse. Above, the sound of gentle rain muffles my words. Violeta nods once. Her eyes are distant, studying the new white mask that covers my missing eye. I sigh, then push stray hair away from my face and start braiding the strands. Long minutes of silence pass between us. I braid, then unbraid, then braid again. The silence between us drags on, but somehow it's a comfortable one that reminds me of the days we used to spend in the garden. Finally, I look at her. "How long did Terran have you imprisoned like that?" "Since the day you escaped your execution," she whispers back. It takes her a while to continue. "The Inquisition and Dahlia searched for you for days. They scoured the city for other malfettos with silver hair. They killed two other girls." She looks down. "They were already stationed in our home, so I couldn't leave. Then Terran came and fetched me. He told me he was taking me to the port capital." "Did he hurt you?" She shakes her head. "No, not physically." "Did he have any idea that you have powers?" "No," Violeta whispers, I struggle up to a better sitting position, then firmly fix my gaze on her. She props herself up on her elbow. Did you? Violetta's silent for a moment. In her eyes, I see the truth. You did know, I whisper back. When? How long? Violetta hesitates and pulls her knees up to her chin. I've known since we were little. I'm numb. I can't breathe. I found out by accident one day. I didn't think it was real at first, she said, meeting my gaze timidly. After all, I had no markings. How could I possibly be a malfetto with demonic... She pauses. With unusual powers. I try to ignore the buzzing in my ears. When? The day Father broke your finger. Her voice turns quieter. Do you remember when you pulled away from him? You wanted to hide behind a dark veil. Literally. I could feel it. Only Raffaele can do that. You could sense me? Violetta nods. That day, I knew instinctively that I didn't want you to do something to anger Father even more. I knew that if you were to do something extraordinary, he'd have you killed or sold or worse. So I reached out. She pauses for a moment as if trying to figure out a good way of explaining herself. And I pushed back on you. I stopped you. In a flash, Raffaele's words come back to me. There is something dark and bitter inside you. Is this where all of my terrifying thoughts come from? Do they originate from so many years of pent-up energy, yearning to break free? It all makes sense now. Raffaele wondered why my powers didn't surface earlier in life. They did. I just never knew it because Violetta had always suppressed them. She came down with a fever the day after the first incident, I recall. And hadn't I used my powers for the first time on the one night that we were separated? Hadn't I felt like a mantle was lifted from me when I said my goodbyes to Violetta? Hadn't I used my powers during my execution? And Raffaele, I start to shake my head. No, there must be something you're not telling me. The daggers had a messenger, someone who could sense other elites. He never sensed you. How could he have missed you? Violetta has no answer to this, of course. I'm not sure why I expect her to give me one. She only stares back helplessly. Raffaele couldn't sense her, I suddenly think, because she must have unconsciously suppressed his power, too. It's the only explanation. To Raffaele, Violetta's power is invisible. When did you let me go? I whisper. Violetta's voice sounds hollow now. When the Inquisition first arrested you, I reached out and pushed your powers away. I didn't want to think about you unleashing on the Inquisitors while you were in prison. I thought maybe they would pardon you if they couldn't prove that you did anything out of the ordinary. But then I heard about your pending execution. I saw them drag you out to the square. I didn't know what else to do, so I released your power, and you called on it. She lowers her eyes. I don't know what else happened to you after the young elites took you away. My heart hammers against my ribs. Away from my sister, I learned for the first time how to grasp onto that energy after training with the daggers. Suddenly, I reach out for her hand and press it to my heart. I want to see you do it, I say quietly. Violetta hesitates. Then she takes a deep breath, closes her eyes, and pushes. I gasp. I feel it this time, as if someone were squeezing the air from my lungs, taking my lifeblood and pushing it down until it is invisible, unreachable. I slump against the wall, dizzy. A strange emptiness hollows my chest. Odd. I don't remember ever feeling this in the past. Perhaps it's impossible to miss something you didn't know existed. Now I know, though, and now I feel its absence. I reach out tentatively for my energy, searching for the